Tonight, Mike takes a moment to discuss marijuana. James hits the shit with a fan. And we decide never to go to Venezuela and eat rice.
This is James from survivalpunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike. Yeah, you thought you could get rid of me, but no, I'm like a cockroach. I just keep fucking coming back. You're never going to be completely without me. And other than also being from survivalpunk.com, I'm also from couchpotatomike.com. I kind of visit YouTube every now and then. And I've got a new home.
You have a new home?
Yeah.
Is it a cardboard box?
No. My new home is on Facebook at Couch Potato Mike's No Ma'am group.
Oh, yeah.
Which all my punk friends are invited to. Well, most of my punk friends are invited to. No feminists or Justice League warriors allowed. It is a place where men can be rude men. It is a place where men can dog on feminists. And guess what? They can't do jack shit about it because they're not allowed in the fucking group. I almost named it the He-Man Woman Haters, but I like No Ma'am better.
Me too.
The National Organization of Men Against Amazonian Masterhood. Thank you, Al Bundy.
Did you watch that YouTube video that I shared to it, Carlin, on When Rape is Funny?
No, I did not see that.
I can't remember his first name at the moment.
George Carlin?
Yes, George. I'm like, Yosef?
I'm like, Carlin. I'm like,
Al Hebrew? I mean, what's his, Carlin?
Is he a Marxist?
I don't know.
Is it part of the Red Scare?
Yeah.
They would think rape is funny.
No, yeah. It was, he's like, when a man violently rapes a woman, that is not funny. But there are times when rape can be funny.
Oh my God.
It was like, a guy was robbing a house and he loaded it up. And before he left, after he got done loading everything up, he decided, I'm going to rape the 90-year-old woman that lives here. And Carlin's like, no, don't ever rape the night. Like, what, was she coming on you too hard? You just couldn't resist. You're like, I'm going to rape this 90-year-old lady. Like, no, pretty sure you can tell her no. I'm out of here, 90-year-old lady.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's...
It's like...
Why would you want to rape a 90-year-old lady?
Yeah. I don't...
I mean, I guess if you're a 90-year-old man, but then again, rape becomes increasingly harder when your pecker stops working.
Yeah.
Not saying that all 90-year-old men's pecker stops working. I'm sure there's plenty of virile 90-year-old men with a rock hard cock on right now.
And on that bombshell, this has been
Oh goddamn! We referenced 90-year-old penis. We're not even three minutes in.
No, yeah.
There's a special podcasting booth in hell just waiting for me.
Yeah, and I guess if you would like to call in and have question about 90-year-old penis, then...
Yes, if you would like to call in and ask about how hard your 90-year-old cock is, please feel free to call and leave a message at 615-657-9104. That is 615-917-650... No, that's not right. 615-657-9104. 615-657-9104.
Yay!
That will take you to the punk. That will take you to the Survival Punk Hotline voicemail,
which I think now is my voicemail for everything. So if you call my personal number and leave a voicemail, you'll be calling into the show as well.
Yeah, I know. I tried to call your number because I missed your call yesterday, and then I got the fucking punk voicemail. I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna fuck with this for a minute. I think I left you like two or three voicemails.
You did. I don't know how to separate the two, so...
Hey.
There used to be a way, I thought, and then Google merged the two, and...
You gotta keep them.
Now if I change one, it changes the other, so, you know, whatever.
What the frack?
Some of the people that call my personal phone number, and Trinity said I'm not allowed to give it out on the interwebs. Because last week...
615. No, I'm just...
Last week I almost did. Like, I was looking at it, and then, like, I was like, you know, because... Generally, like, I know my own number fairly well. I've kept it for a long time through a couple companies, and I didn't think about it. So I was just like, 615, blah, blah, blah. Oh.
No, get out of here. You can't give them your number.
Yeah. That was a funny episode. Serenity messages me. She's like, why did Mike angry face your podcast as soon as you put it out on the Punk Spot? I'm like, oh, because he's not on it. I'm sure that's why. I couldn't think of a topic last Saturday morning, so I'm like,
Yeah, I was like bright and shining, ready to podcast, and then we didn't. And then he's like, here's my podcast. And I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, I thought about that. Oddly enough,
I wanted to be on the last episode, people, but I got vetoed.
A surprising number of my podcast ideas come from dreams.
Oh, God.
I'll wake up with the idea, and I'm like, if you watch too many episodes of Ancient Aliens and you get into the Akashic Library and, like, all the weird inventions throughout history that come, like, people wake up and they're like, yeah, I dreamed how to invent the radio. It was weird. Like, I woke up and I was like, I know how to invent this thing. I'm going to call it the radio. I think it's radio, buddy. Yeah, no, it's the radio. I invented it.
I'm pretty sure it's a long A.
Yeah. I mean, it means well penis in ancient Celtic language. But yeah, I'll wake up and I'll be like, I need to do an episode on survival flashlights. I need to do an episode on that. One time, I dreamt that Mike and I went to a survival expo and gave a lecture on using motorbikes for survival in a shit hit the fan. And I gave a 40-minute lecture in the dream, and I was competent on it. I've never rode a motorcycle.
What's really weird?
Dirt bikes. It was dirt bikes for survival.
I've had dreams, though, where I was singing. Like the full, long version of songs I don't know. But, I mean, every word was intelligible.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I was singing the song correctly, but it's a song that I have not personally memorized.
Yeah.
It's stashed away in there, gets filed and brought out in dream state.
I recently had a really crazy dream.
Oh, God.
So sometimes in my dreams, I have reoccurring places that I go. Like, there's almost like an actual landscape to the dreamscape. Like, it's like, oh, you know, you turn left on Dragon Road and right down the street when you past the
Petticoat Junction,
yeah, and you get to the place. It's these weird things have certain spaces that exist that you can get to in my dreams. So the other night I was going to the mansion of the dragon people to slay them, because I do that sometimes. I go to the mansion of the dragon people and I slay them. We have big fights, you know. It's kind of like a dungeon in an RPG game. I'm gonna make you watch that one day.
Kathy Ireland. Remember when she was somebody?
Yeah. So I went there the other night to slay the dragon people. You know, we're going to have an epic battle. I had a sword, you know, all that good stuff. We're going to fight. And I get there and I find out that because they're scary, the government is evicting them and they now have to pack and leave their mansion. They're not allowed to be dragon people in their dragon mansion anymore. And the leader of the dragon people is showing me around. He's like, look at the persecution that the government is putting on me and my dragon kin. Like, he showed me some little dragon girl who was like, you know, a 4-year-old dragon girl. And he was like, she doesn't even have claws and talons. She can just color really well. That's her superpower. She can color really well. And she's being evicted. And I was like, that's pretty sad, bro. Like, I came here to slay you, but I feel sorry for you now because you're being evicted by the government persecuting you because you're dragonkin.
Okay. This sounds like some fucking weird combination between, like, oh, God, like the fucking movie Love at First Bite and some goddamn PBS show and all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Her magic power is coloring.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, you know, sometimes in the Marvel comics you'll have like mutants that have ridiculous powers.
Dragon Tales, the shit gets real, yeah. Episode. Fuck.
Yeah, it was fun. So, what are we talking about today?
From what I can tell so far, how to book a psychiatrist on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
No, fucking today we are talking about, we are talking about Venezuela, and we're talking about marijuana.
Yes. This week we'll debut the first weekly segment of Mike's new segment called
Mike's Marijuana Moment.
There you go. The Marijuana Moment. Maybe I'll even add in like a short, like, 1 minute, 30 second part where I talk about guns, like the gun movement or something.
I thought you were going to say, like, I'll add in my own segment called James's Acid Flashback.
No.
You kids remember the 60s?
I don't, but I do have some acid flashbacks to tell you about one day. Maybe that's why I dream about dragons. No, like, to me, guns and weed are sort of the symbols of freedom in our culture. Like, if you have both of them unregulated by the government, you kind of got true freedom there. Like, one side's always opposing one of the other two things. But if there was no government laws restricting the buying, selling, smoking, using of marijuana, or any gun laws restricting the buying, selling, using of any firearms that can be developed, thus fully automatic, if you so choose.
You left out smoking.
Did I say smoking?
Not on the guns. I said using. Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, if you smoke your gun.
You've never heard of two smoking guns?
I mean, for all I care, you should be able to take marijuana, wrap around the outside of your fully automatic AR-15, and blow it, and then huff the fumes coming off of your barrel from igniting the marijuana.
All right, punks out there listening to this shit, I want videos by the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, you can cook bacon on the end of a barrel. Why can't you cook marijuana?
I'm looking at you, Justin.
There's a lot of Justins. We can't say last names, though. So yeah. Every Justin listening is going, is it me? Is it me? Yeah. So, we're going to talk about the shit is hitting the fan in Venezuela.
You know what? Before we get into the shit hitting the fan in Venezuela, though, I do want to talk a little bit more about fucking couch potato Mike's no ma'am. This is like the easiest goddamn thing I've ever created in my life. I just checked. I haven't even had a chance to post on it, but all the punks are just like filling it full of such content.
Yeah.
And they're all doing such a good job. I think one of my favorite posts on there so far was this. It looked like a news headline. It's like, feminist picnic fails when nobody makes sandwiches.
And it has that stupid, her name is like Big Red or something. She's a feminist that has like insanely red short hair.
Oh, and then there's the other one where it showed a picture of Donald Trump saying, yeah, we just dropped the mother of all bombs on ISIS, and then some feminist.
Are you assuming it's gender?
Are you assuming it's gender?
Yeah. I think...
You guys are fucking great.
Maybe I can cover a 2 minute segment, like, what social justice law was just passed. New York now has, I think, 30 protected genders.
Wait, 30 protected genders?
Yes.
Genders?
Yes.
At what point did there grow more than two?
When the state declared there was, I guess.
God, fuck.
There's one that's like trans and then transgendered.
I love this. It's a picture of a topless woman selling lemonade. The sign's like, lemonade, $3. I spit lemonade on your face, $5. I spit the lemonade on your dick, $8. I pour the lemonade over my tits, $10. I wonder if the cops would buy lemonade or shut it down. Thank you, Nikki.
They'd probably shut it down, fucking bastards. Yeah. So let's start it with your marijuana moment. Tell us what you've got this week.
Oh, you want to start there. Mike's marijuana moment. This is where we just take a moment and we talk about the news for marijuana this week. And I found a dandy little article that I have entitled Potsylvania.
Man, maybe we need to edit in some, like, bong sound effects. Like
fucking article. That sounded more like Darth Vader than a bong.
I don't know.
I have no article. The article was there, and now it's just not.
What do you remember? Tell us about it.
I didn't read it.
God damn it.
I saved it so I could read it on air. Well, it's your fault.
Good job.
It is your fault. For some reason, your modem decided not to let me on it any goddamn more.
Looking at your internet thing, you're not on mine. You're on yours still.
Am I? How do you know?
Not enough signal to say it's mine.
Well, okay, see. Settings. Wi-Fi. Yeah, see, there's yours. I click it. Connect. And it refuses to connect to it. Still, whatever you did to the modem didn't fix it, so... And now I can't connect to mine. So there's no marijuana moment this week, folks. Let's just talk about Venezuela. I am now sad. Yeah, there you go. Good old Lappy 2000.
Map of Weed, California?
No, that's not what I'm looking
funny.
For. There it is.
From CNN.
Yes, CNN. That was the article. Well, actually, the one I was looking for was on NBC, but whatever. Oh, good. All right, here we go. Don't be surprised if there's a sign one day in a small California town that reads, "Welcome to Nipton, a place to get stoned." The entire town of 120 acres was purchased Thursday by American Green Incorporated, a marijuana-focused What the ever-loving fuck is in my ear?
Luckily, I don't think the audience heard that.
Oh, we'll find out if they did. Let me see. The entire town of 120 acres was purchased on Thursday by American Green Incorporated, a marijuana-focused technology and growing firm based in Arizona. The reported price tag, about $5 million. The company plans to make Nipton the country's first energy-independent, cannabis-friendly hospitality destination, American Green said in a statement. Nipton is near the Nevada border, about an hour's drive from Las Vegas and over 3 hours from Los Angeles. The town has a hotel, general store, and a schoolhouse. Hadn't said it yet, but it's actually like an old west boom town like from the gold rush. Nipton has its roots in gold and silver mining, along with ranching. Only about 16 people live there. American Green said it will initially focus on bottling cannabis-infused water in the town. The production of marijuana edibles and the cultivation of cannabis won't be far behind in American Green's 18-month, $2.5 million development time frame. Visitors will find mineral baths, lodging, marijuana retail outlets, and a first-of-its-kind ecotourism experience for conscious cannabis consumers. Recreational marijuana was legalized last year in California and Nevada, but remains illegal according to federal law.
Yeah, for now, I don't predict that marijuana being criminalized federally can last much longer, especially with the tax revenue taken in from places that have recreationally legalized it.
I mean, the
government's greedy as fuck.
The fucking statistics speak for themselves. It is a money-making industry. People are going to keep buying it.
Yeah.
People love it. I mean, hell, the first reported uses of marijuana, something like over 10,000 years old. Yeah, like, it's not going anywhere. Just get on the goddamn bandwagon. It's only been illegal for, like, not even, maybe 100 years?
Maybe, but I don't think it's even been that long. Maybe.
Yeah, within the last 100 years, it became illegal. And it's been, people have been smoking it for fucking ever. George Washington smoked it, okay? With the Native Americans. Willie Nelson smoked it on the roof of the White House. I mean, yeah, it was illegal then, but whatever. It's marijuana, folks. Get with the program. California sure as hell is. I mean, there is going to be, I mean, literally, they took an old west gold rush town, Nipton, with 18 people living in it, and are turning it into Pottsylvania, essentially.
Pottsylvania.
I mean, it is going to be like this tourist stop location that's just all about the reefers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go and, isn't it great that there's places out there where you can go and inject your marijuanas without having to give hand jibbers behind the Home Depot?
Exactly. And maybe if Venezuela had recreational marijuana, maybe they wouldn't be having the shit hit the fan. Oh. Maybe they do. I'm not real sure. They're a weird place.
Now, I'm going to be the first ones to tell you, I know jack shit about Venezuela.
Yes.
I hardly ever keep up with the news.
This is not being super covered, and I don't watch the news, so I don't know, but I stumbled across it, and then I decided to dig deeper, because what's going on is we're seeing the beginnings of a collapse to a society, and
literally, the shit is hitting the fan there.
Yeah, and the thing is, here in America, there's sort of like American bias. And I'm sure that most of you, especially those not in the military that haven't traveled the world.
I don't care about it if it doesn't happen to Americans.
Well, kind of like the way if you ask a lot of like Americans, you're like, is Canada always frozen? Well, yeah, of course Canada's always frozen. You know, and everyone that's not like American,
show up on the
Canadian.
They show up on the Canadian border on fucking the middle of July with skis and snow boots.
Like they kind of think that everyone that's not like American and British are like a third world country. Like, we're a first world country, like America and Britain and Canada. Canada's kind of a weirdo, though.
Well,
we don't really understand them.
They're a first world country. They just have a very low population for a country their size.
True. Yeah, true.
I mean, they're, I think, the second or third largest landmass country on the planet.
Yeah.
They technically have more land than the U.S. does.
And they're about to be outpopulated because their Prime Minister Trudeau was basically like, yeah, fuck it, just walk across the border. Like, Trump says he's putting up a wall, I'm putting in a welcome sign across the entire Canadian border. Just go cross the borders. I mean, literally, he's come on TV going, just cross the border.
Yeah, but you have to have a fucking passport to get there now.
Do you know how much... Do you know how unprotected the Canadian border is?
Oh, it's insanely unprotected.
Yeah, like, instead of going to the border cross, walk, like, 100 feet down and just cross to the woods. I don't even think there's a fence there.
There's no fence there.
You just walk across the woods and you're in.
Oh, my God, there is, like... I remember hearing on one of my NPR shows a while back, there was some town... And I fucking forget what fucking state it is, but literally... This one street in this one town, literally one side of the street is in the United States, and the other side is in Canada.
Yeah.
Where you actually have to have a passport to cross the fuck. I mean,
now they used to just drive back and forth. But
now they used to drive back and forth. But yeah, depending on when you get to the intersection, if you turn right, you're in Canada. You turn left, you're in the U.S. And you literally have to have a passport, pretty much, just to live on that goddamn street. Well, that's the thing, because if you're driving down one side of it. You pull out of your driveway, turn right, you're in Canada. But then you go to the store on your way back, you literally have to cross into America to get back, to come back up your own damn street. Because literally, the other side of the dotted line is in another country. I love weird shit like that.
So I wonder if people work in Canada and then come home to America.
Yeah.
In that town, that's ridiculous.
No, that shit happens both ways, constantly.
Yeah.
That one town, though, they do, like a lot of places along the Canadian-American border, they happily accept both currencies.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some research on Venezuela. By no means am I a PhD expert, but like I was trying to say before, you know, this was not a third world country. This was a rich, industrialized, first world country.
I mean, you've all heard of Venezuela.
Yeah, we've all heard of it. Like, they have their main town, Caracas, is like any normal popular city. Skyscrapers, you know, everything is paved. Everyone has nice, fancy cars. Like, Venezuela has more oil than Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, when the early century, when the oil boom started, Venezuela was rich. And rich. Now they're fucked. You know, just looking at all the pictures, yeah, you know, some of the areas not inside the cities is pretty third world.
Now, one thing that I have noticed with the little bit I know about Venezuela, and I think all of you survivalists, all you preppers out there, really need to fucking dig in here. All the motherfuckers that are on the cusp of becoming a survivalist or a prepper really need to take a good goddamn look at all this shit, because all the shit that... us fucking preppers and doomsayers out there that you people think, all the shit that we say could happen is fucking happening there. I mean, we're literally seeing a real world fucking example of the shit hitting the fan because it's happening there. You want to handle this one thing at a time? Go for it. This is your baby.
Yeah. So just going through some like bullet points real quick, and then we'll dig into a few things. Hugo Chavez was the president. He took over in 1999 to 2013 when he died.
14-year reign.
Looking at it, I didn't realize. Okay, see, he was a previous member of the Venezuelan military.
El presidente.
He tried a coup, failed.
Coup.
Was put in jail for his coup attempt, and then I think he tried again. And then he was elected president.
Awesome.
Yeah, after like one or two coup attempts.
Until the point where he died in 2013.
Yeah, and when he got in the office, he changed it so that he kind of removed the term limits. And I'm not real sure about... The re-elections were kind of iffy, too.
Did he become president and then set himself up as a dictator?
He was in the government from 1999 to 2013.
Yeah, that's a 14-year term.
And then... In 2013, his vice president,
Nicolas Maduro,
took office, and he's been in there since 2013.
4 years now.
You know, and some of the... There was recently a voting thing. I don't know if it was on his reelection or on some other part of the government. But before that, like, 4 million people were turning out and voting and stuff. For this election, 8 million people voted in favor of whatever he wanted. So him, his election, whatever it was. 8 million people turned out and voted. Everyone's like, yeah, no, that didn't really happen. The people that own the voting machines are like, this was tampered with. The voting machine company was like, these results are not real.
Who added the times two button?
Seriously, if you're going to rig an election, don't double it.
Wait a minute.
Our last election had 4 million people vote. This election, we had 8 million people vote.
Yeah, they're fucking looking at the goddamn fucking election results. It's like, wait a minute. Half these people voted for Al Gore in Florida? That's where the votes went.
Vote for the name you know. If you know that one, send me an email, jamesfarrellpunk.com. I'll send you a sticker.
Sticker!
And no Googling either.
I'm on a rampage!
So yeah, Nicolas Maduro, he took over in office, continuing the communistic policies of Hugo Chavez. And it's weird that Hugo Chavez is, to many people, I would say he's very close to actual worship.
I thought he was a clothing designer.
He was very, I mean, the people love him. They hate Maduro. Even the people that like Chavez hate Maduro for some reason. Social programs? Okay, hold on. It's reading what's happening in Venezuela reminded me a lot of the things that happened in Atlas Shrugged. It's like, you know, it's like the things that they did in the book that I thought were like over the top to make you see, oh, these policies don't work. That I'm like, no one would actually do this shit. Venezuela is doing that shit.
Oh, like what?
Like, hold on. There was a bunch of like government programs to help the poor people in the outside of the cities, but it always helped the government, their allies, and their cronies more than the government. So, like, Mike, let's say you own a house building company.
Woohoo! I own a house building company.
But
fuck
you're
yes.
But you're incompetent at it.
What's a house now?
Yeah. But the good thing for you, though, is you're good friends with me. I'm the president.
Fuck yeah.
We
play golf and bridge on the weekends.
Yeah. So these houses on the free market, they'll take probably $40,000 to build. I'll give you $7 million to build them.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, it's like...
I was only using thumbtacks and super glue.
Yeah. And more than likely, they are cutting... Like, literally, in the book, they were building these exorbitant, nice, fancy houses for these migrant workers. But they were actually... And they were spending tons of money to build them. But they were cutting every corner in the universe.
Oh, we quit using nails.
They made death traps, yeah.
We quit using nails 3 days ago. We're just using used chewing gum.
Yeah.
And duct tape.
Which is...
But not name brand duct tape, mind you. The stuff that we got at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah. It looks like...
And we shoplifted it.
Everything in Venezuela is free. What? They were building government houses.
Yay.
Not enough, though. Most people were homeless.
Boo!
And to the point where the free market quit building them because the government was just going to... They are just going to come in and expatriate. They're just going to come in and steal the houses to put people in. So, I mean...
Give me my porch back.
Why would you... Why would... Mike, you're a house builder. Why would... You're not, but in this situation, in this theory, this game we're playing here, you're a house builder. How likely are you to continue building houses if me, the government, I'm just going to come in and take it? Like, nice job for finishing it. You're not going to get paid, though. I'm just going to take it and put in some squatters.
No.
Yeah, you're going to stop.
You just wasted a lot of my time and money.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I was building these houses out of playing cards, but shit, I had to pay for those playing cards. You going to at least pay me for my material? No. Okay, have your goons let go of me. Okay, I can walk myself, goddamn. Ow, that hurts. I believe I had a hat. Suckers!
Yeah, so they just, you know, the government, and that's what I hate about this. There are many things I hate about communism. But
that's because you were raised a fascist.
The fact that the communism is supposed to be for the people and no ownership and no this and everyone will be happy. The only people that ever seem happy are the government and their buddies. Like,
well, it's because they've got all the money and none of the consequences.
I know. It doesn't work, but it works. It's a pyramid scheme.
Yes, it is. It's all a pyramid scheme. You wouldn't believe how much of actual life is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Pyramid
scheme. So, and all of these social programs, like...
aliens invented the pyramids. It's a conspiracy.
Free housing, free medical, free college, free school, free bread.
I like free stuff.
All this free shit was only able to be afforded because... You think, like, back in 99, early 2000s, that's when our prices of oil were through the roof. Remember when, like, gas was getting, like, people were like, God, I don't know if I want to drive today. I don't think I can afford to drive today.
Oh, goddamn. Back when people actually, yeah, when they jacked the prices up, I mean, locally, it was, like, over $4.50.
Yeah.
In Tennessee. And all the fucking oil people like, oh, we can raise the prices as high as we want. Why? People are not going to stop driving. Guess what? You get them over $4, people stop fucking driving. People stop looking for jobs. People start carpooling, majorly carpooling, with people they don't even like that smell like three-day-old onions.
Yeah.
I was going somewhere with this.
Yeah, so...
So, yeah, gas stopped selling, and they're like, oh, shit, because I remember distinctly, dude, it seemed like over fucking night... The price of gas started dropping. It went from like $4.50, and I remember distinctly it dipped down under $2 within a week.
Yeah.
I mean, it was $1.90.
Apparently, so Venezuela is part of OPEC, the oil-producing countries.
I thought you actually knew what words those letters stood for. You're like, oil-producing countries. Like, you were so close. You were so close.
It's OP and whatever the E is. I don't know. OP...
I'm left disillusioned.
Whatever. The oil producing countries pact or whatever.
I don't produce oil. I make houses.
But yeah. So apparently, and I heard this, that they had all agreed to just basically sell production to make more money. It got out of control, obviously. Prices were too high. And they were making money there for a while. And granted, the smart thing would have done was to do a correction and lower the price. They're still making money. Ooh. I mean, the OPEC.
OPEC, yeah.
You know, I mean, it takes a lot of money to extract oil. I don't want anyone to do that for free. Like, I'm willing to pay, but I don't want to pay exorbitant amounts. Like, there's a point where you can't afford to pay anymore.
Nope.
So they had a pact. They were going to, like, do that, and then... I think it was Saudi Arabia was like, they cut their prices overnight, and Venezuela was like, oh shit. And yeah. So yeah, all this stuff was possible because of the expensive oil prices they went up.
So Saudi Arabia cuts their prices overnight, therefore slitting.
No one buys Venezuela's.
Yeah, yeah, slitting Venezuela's throat, essentially. Yeah.
I mean, granted, that was bad. I mean, you know, whatever, but. If they weren't throwing away all their money on useless programs, if they weren't having Mike buy $7 million houses that cost $40,000, you know, then they could have, there would have been a buffer. They could have afforded this loss.
Hey,
they couldn't, though.
I needed that $7 million. I wanted dessert with dinner last night.
Yeah. You mean like...
deep fried Twinkies. Shit.
I mean, Twinkies made of solid gold bars.
You can't eat solid gold bars.
You can eat gold flake, though, and that's weird.
Yeah, but it just tastes like metal.
So, yeah. Venezuela has some insane inflation going on right now. I think I have numbers from 2014. Oh, well, everyone's losing weight. Do I not have Venezuela? Do I not have...
No, you don't.
800.
There you go.
During the year 2016, for Zach, consumer prices rose 800%, and the economy contracted by 18.6%.
800%. Okay, just to give you some inkling, I mean, I'm sure you guys can do math, but a product that normally costed $1 now costs $8.
That's just that year.
That's just that year.
Yeah.
Did I just hear a trumpet? Is the Lord coming for us?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, seriously, I thought I heard a horn outside.
No, no, I did too, yeah.
I didn't want people thinking when I was crazy. Or.
So, yeah, they. I mean, one, well, we're talking about the inflation. To buy a little, like, 1 pound bag of rice, which I think last time I looked here in America, in Tennessee, well,
for
is.
1 pound of rice is.
Like a buck or something.
A buck? How much does a pound of rice cost in. A bag of rice cost in Venezuela right now?
The equivalent of 1 week's worth of wages.
I don't know how much a Venezuelan makes in a week.
I mean, to normalize it to American standards, let's say it's between, let's say it's about $300 for a bag of rice.
I don't like rice that much.
Well, that's about all you can get to eat, though.
Can't they just eat their house pets?
Yeah.
I mean, why the hell else are we keeping them? Am I right?
Actually, the slaughter of all pets and endangered species, and even the zoo has been broken into and started to get eaten.
I was just joking, but damn.
Apparently, anteaters are a protected species there, and people are starting to eat the anteaters, which...
Because they're so... I don't know.
I can't imagine anteater being tasty.
They're insectivores.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what an we've eaten, like, chickens and stuff, and they're, like, raised on corn and bugs.
They're little omnivores, so, I mean, technically, yeah, chicken does taste good, so maybe an anteater does taste good.
Maybe an anteater tastes like chicken.
Or maybe it tastes disgusting. Who knows?
I don't know. If you're Venezuelan, please call our number at 615-whatever-the-fuck-it-was.
657-9104?
Yeah, like she said.
I mean, to be honest, though... I would eat anteater. There's pretty much no meat that I wouldn't try.
Dude, when I was telling you about them mapping out the genome and possibly bringing the woolly mammoth back out of fucking extinction, the first thing you wanted to do was eat the motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first thing you wanted to do when you heard about them bringing back the passenger pigeon was eat it.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, I can't deny I wanted to eat it, too.
Me, too.
The whole big part of the reason the passenger pigeon went extinct was because they were so yummy.
Yeah.
They're making pot pies out of the damn things. I'm not joking about that. I mean, I know it's hard sometimes on the show to tell when I'm joking and when I'm not because, you know, I'm just naturally quirky. But yeah, people, and they were stupid.
I actually heard that pigeons in general are not bad tasting.
Squab.
They're not bad tasting. Like,
if you're ever in a restaurant, in a nicer restaurant, and you see squab on the menu, that's pigeon.
That's what me and Serena are going to serve at our wedding, by the way.
You're serving pigeon squab. At the wedding?
No, it's probably going to be chicken thighs. So, yeah, inflation's out of control. Like, that's a good, like, generally, inflation shows that you are having problems with your economy. And, like, especially out of control inflation.
That's hyperinflation. That's, like, massively.
Yeah, I don't think they've even gotten to hyperinflation yet. Like,
that's not hyperinflation yet?
It's not.
300 bucks for a bag of rice isn't hyperinflation?
I think it gets worse.
It's going to be like that episode of, the fucking episode of fucking DuckTales. It was like, how much for the lollipop? It's $5,000. I'll take two.
Yeah. Yeah.
The coins kept multiplying, because they fucking, like, they had invented this.
Bottle caps.
Yeah, motherfucker. Well, no, not the bottle cap. But that motherfucker, the inventor, the one that invented the gizmo duck armor. He fucking invented this thing, which literally, it was like some kind of a ray gun. You fucking blast something with it, and it creates a duplicate of it right next to it. Unfortunately, there was the side effect of every time a bell rings, it causes your doubles to double.
Mm.
Which basically, they doubled like one quarter. And then all of a sudden, the town is just like fucking overflowing. There's quarters all over the street and all this shit.
Mm.
Huey, Louie, and Dewey did it. They caused it all, and all the money had to be gathered into a giant money bin that was like three times the size of Scrooge McDuck's, and he thought it was all going to explode, but it turns out it didn't. It imploded back into the original quarter, and then fucking Scrooge took it back from him.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically, that's what we need down in Venezuela. We need a bunch of ducks with a ray gun.
Yeah. So then there's price controls.
Price controls.
Where the government says that you're not allowed to charge what the market is willing to pay for it, which with inflation, it's like saying that, you know, say you're making bread.
Okay.
And this is not because bread is a government line that you stand in to get for free.
Well,
but you can't even find it.
I have to make bread. The government seized all the houses I was making.
Yeah. So let's say that it, you know, the government says you can only charge $1 for a loaf of bread.
A dollar for a loaf of bread, it cost me $1.50 to make that loaf.
Let's actually say that it cost you about $50 to buy a bag of rye, bag of flour to make that with. So that you're at this point with the inflation going on, it's costing, like, you're going into a super loss to make that bread.
But you can't see.
But you can't charge more for the bread.
It cost me $50 for the flour to make this loaf of bread that I can charge $1 for.
Yes.
Well, why don't you just shoot me in the testicles right now?
Pretty much. If you even stay in the country. And
don't really do that. Thank God I'm between you and the firearms.
Yeah.
You had a crazed look in your eye.
Price controls are always a sign that the fan has fell into your manure. Yes.
The fan hit the shit?
The fan hit the shit. Today on Yoda Survival, Fan has hit the shit. Yes.
Survive to YID.
Yeah.
And bomb on that shell.
Yes. Oh, man.
Wait, you derailed yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when the government is super fucked up and it's dying, it starts implementing stupid protocols that make it even worse. So, like, to all you survivalists out there that think, oh, when the shit hits the fan, the government's just going to be like, meh, fuck it, close the doors and go home. They are not going to close the doors and go home. When the shit hits the fan, the government's like, time to put on the totalitarian hat. Make more laws. Control more people.
Didn't our government close the doors and go home once?
No.
Like a couple of years ago.
No, they didn't. Remember?
They went on strike.
No, when the government closed, air quotes for you people at home that can't see.
Oh, I'm sure they
closed down retarded things. Like,
national
parks. The government is closed, so let's close down national parks. What did you do? What do you know what they did, Mike?
They
did not close down the national park. They didn't close the government. They put up gates in front of the national parks and staffed security guard police officers there to prevent people from going into these open public parks. How is that closing the government?
How is that saving it?
That's extraditing the government. That's more government. When the government closed, they put more totalitarian police force out there.
Sure, they didn't just pull them off of something else.
Well, still though, if you
Did they actually close down any government buildings? I mean, did people stop going to work?
I'm sure that the ridiculous politicians were like, "Oh, I guess I get the week off." But
with pay, probably
with pay.
It's all paid vacation when you're that high up.
Serenity now,
Goose Fraba.
Yeah. That's a sign that, oh my God, oh my God, I want to do an episode that's like, you're a redneck jokes. Like, I want to be like, that's how you know your government's fucked. That's how you know the shit has hit the fan. That's how you know you're an anarchist.
Oh my God.
Really pisses me off when it's like, the government closed. Well, not really. They probably did more work and most, like, you can't close something and then, like, hire people to prevent people from going into it. Like, it was like the Vietnam War Memorial. That's an outside stone building.
Yep, it's outside.
But instead of, like, just not doing anything, you instead put up gates. So that means you had to procure the gates, the metal, like, gate fencing, like they have it like a...
Yeah, they had to get the materials, and they had to pay somebody to build the fucking gates.
And then to patrol it, like, 24 hours a day to keep old veterans from going in there and, you know, rubbing the things
Looking at their fallen comrades' names on the wall.
Yeah.
That's so retarded.
So, yeah.
They shut off the panda cam during that time.
Whoop-dee-fucking-do.
They may have closed the Library of Congress.
Yeah. and the whole time that, like, Maduro's is doing all these price controls, he's like, the reason that we're suffering is capitalism. they blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you're making price controls.
Is he trying to win a bet? I mean, honestly, I mean, all the decisions you've said he's made so far don't make a goddamn lick of sense.
Have you ever heard of, it's I'm pretty sure I found out it's fake, but there's a quote misattributed to Einstein saying that insanity is doing the same thing over and over. It's like these communists think that like they're bashing their heads against the wall. It's like, this is supposed to work. Fucking do it, people. Like, they don't comprehend why it's not working.
No. Yeah.
It's like, God damn it, you idiots. 2 + 2 = 5, you fucking fucks.
Four lights.
What?
Nothing. Star Trek people will get it.
Oh. Yeah, that was one of the things in 1984 was they're like, if the government tells you it's 2 + 2 = 5, then it's fucking 5. And you better believe it with all your heart and soul.
Oh, it's the end of the world as we know it.
So then there's shortages, and there's a lot of reasons for this.
They're called little people, dude, and they don't want your insults.
So in the major city of Caracas, there's not as many shortages. There are like some stores will be wiped out, but if you move to the smaller cities, because it's not just like Venezuela is not just one single city of Caracas.
See, I always thought Caracas was what you saw when a plumber bent over.
No, that's a.
Anyway.
Blah. So yeah, you know, if you're a media person, you're allowed in the country because they're kind of getting, you know, iffy on that. And you get into the country and you go to the main city of Caracas, the capital, and you go to some of the higher end supermarkets, then you will probably find basically everything you're looking for, except for toilet paper. You can't find toilet paper, but you can get paper towels and napkins and shit, though.
What about Johnsonville's mild Italian sausage?
I don't know. It looked like most of the stuff they had. So, but if you go to the other cities, you can't find it. Some of the stores are completely wiped out. Some of that is, you know, with the inflation and stuff is so bad, the black market is kind of going up where some people will go buy stuff.
Why has it got to be a black market?
Because it is. people are like going across the border into Colombia to get jobs. You know it's bad. When people are going to Colombia? Yes.
Oh, God. You mean the cocaine capital of the planet?
Yeah. Like, I saw this video of this woman that was like going and buying meat and then putting it in her and her 2-year-old daughter's purse, or like 4-year-old daughter's purse, crossing the border into Colombia and then selling the meat to somebody.
Oh, my God.
Because I guess they can get whatever that meat was in Venezuela, and they couldn't get it in Colombia. I don't really know. But at that point, hold on. It's a couple hours away, by the way, and some of that is walking.
See, this is reminding me of this. I can't ever think of his name, but he was in Little Nicky. He was playing the possessed mayor of New York, the black guy with the eyes. No, he was a stand-up comedian, and he used to have this, like, he used to have this fucking joke about George H.W. Bush. This is how long ago I heard this fucking bit. He's like, Bush has got this country so screwed up, we got people sneaking back into Mexico.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, because back then, immigration was the thing. For some reason, it's still the thing, but it's not the thing. It's just they want you to think it's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, they say Trump is hard on immigration. Well, and they, like, mocked the Obama administration for it, and I'm not defending Obama, but the Obama administration did deport a shit ton of people. Yeah. They actually did, but just, you know.
Well, I kind of looked into it one time, and it wasn't so much the fault of Obama, because he was like, let the motherfuckers in. Whoever was in charge of the immigration people were like, I'm going to crack down on these sons of bitches. Like, and, you know, they were getting... They were getting sort of like flack from higher ups. They're like, no, stop deporting people. Like, that's our job. We deport people. No, stop deporting people. You know, so. You know,
honestly, presidential elections shouldn't be about trying to, you know, elect the fucking. They're not really about trying to elect the leader of the free world and everything. They're basically electing the next motherfucker you're going to blame for every goddamn thing that goes wrong in this country over the next 4 years at least.
You know what?
Because the president doesn't have. I mean, yes, the president has power. But he's not a goddamn king. He's not the emperor. Shit that he can put into place can get overturned.
True.
I mean, that's why it's a government, not just one guy.
There are a lot of things the president can do, though.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. Like, actually, you know what? The leftist hero, Bill Clinton, when he dropped bombs on, what was it? Iraqi Freedom, whatever that was.
Operation Iraqi Freedom? That wasn't Clinton.
Wasn't it?
No, that was the second Bush.
That was second. Wait, no. The one before that. Saudi Arabia. Desert Storm.
Desert Storm and Desert Shield.
Yeah.
Those started with the first Bush, and Clinton wound up picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
Because during the Clinton administration, they were helping them rebuild Iraq.
Yeah.
Actually, that was the thing. The late Saddam Hussein, he loved Bill Clinton.
I'm sure he did.
Hated the Bushes.
Yeah.
Hated the Bushes. I mean, denounced them when he was about to be hung, I think.
Weird.
Yeah, no, he was for... No, he loved Clinton, hated the Bushes.
Oh, yeah, so shortages. They have a lot of shortages. They can't... The reason they do the bread lines is because you can't buy bread. There's no bread to be bought. Who the fuck's calling you from Missouri?
I don't know. I'm sure it's...
Call them and put them on air.
Oh, my God. Hey, folks, you know what? I'm going to fucking do this, because I get these calls, like, goddamn constantly, like, fucking all these out-of-state fucking calls, and I'm sure they're, like, either telemarketers or bill collectors or shit like that. So, you know what? Survival Punk fans out there, help me out. Call this number, 816-259-0216, and just give them hell. Thank you. They're being added to my auto reject list.
It's like in the 1920s or something. Like there's bread lines you have to wait hours for to get like your bread. It's weird. I wanted to find concise bullet points, and I found a lot of commentary and a lot of other stuff. But
it's reminding me of Russia back during the 80s.
Yeah, they had a lot of problems too.
Because people, I mean, you always heard the story.
There.
Had to. You know, we have to stand in line 3 hours for like a thimble's worth of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and apparently you're not allowed to even go to the store every day. Like, it's kind of like, it gets based on like the last number of your Venezuela social security number. Like, if your last number is a 9, you get to go on like...
Tuesdays
and like Fridays or something. Like, you're allowed to only go to the shop on those days. And then this one old man was going to the shop in this video I was watching to like buy something because it's his day. Like, it was Tuesday or whatever. And it was like National Supermarket Workers Day Off Day. So he couldn't buy anything. All the supermarkets were closed that day.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, he's like, I will have to come back, you know, later in the week.
I'll just starve between
I'll
now and
I'll just
then.
Starve, yeah.
I think I've still got a kitten laying around the house somewhere.
Yeah. So they've been in economic recession since 2014. I think I read earlier that it's contracted in 2016 by 18.6%.
God damn. They left me a voicemail.
Nice. Let's see. What's next on the list? Housing issues, like I said earlier, with the...
They have no reception.
It's weird... When I was reading about the housing issues, it was so convoluted that I couldn't make sense of it. But like, it was like, I think now in 2016, there's like 3 million people that need housing, and the government was building free housing for people. And they started stealing the houses of people that, so like house builders, they were like, you build a house and they just come take it and give it away to people. And I think one of the most recent things was, people, like, say, Venezuela had rich people living there. If you owned more than 3 properties, they were going to force you to rent those properties or make you sell them, or they were just going to take them. What are you doing?
I was trying to get it back to the screen you were on, but I was doing it left-handed.
Get out of here. There's some crazy housing issues going on. Because being communist, they don't like people who own property. So I'm pretty sure Maduro stole, or Chavez, basically like nationalized the land. So I don't think you can
nationalize the land. Basically means the government owns all the land now.
Yes.
You're not allowed to own
land. People quit farming, so there's no farmland. So all the food is basically imported.
Oh, for the love of God, what are they trying to do?
And they don't have money to import food anymore because...
There's going to be no Venezuela shortly.
Or there'll be a brand new Venezuela.
Either that or Colombia will have a coup and just conquer Venezuela.
Yeah. And so another way...
No, they might not even have to. At this point, they could probably buy the damn thing.
I bet they could, yeah. Another way that... another sign that a company is collapsing is they put on monetary controls. So the import and export of foreign money, because usually that's more stable than your own current currency. So having American dollars in Venezuela is not really legal. And they're limited. So big companies in Venezuela that, you know, do import and exportation, you kind of have to have your money, you kind of have to. If you buy products from America to resell in your country, you kind of need to pay us in American dollars. We don't want your Bolivian dollars that are worth, you know, 20,000 to one of our money. We don't want that shit. You got to pay us in American dollars.
Yay.
But that's a problem.
Because
the government only allows you to get so many dollars to purchase things outside of your country with.
So,
the toilet paper company is like...
They're just trying to
kill
don't
have money to buy stuff. Yeah, I don't understand it. And that whole thing confused me. This one person that was saying it's not really that bad here in Venezuela, she had her little documentary thing. She was interviewing someone within the government, so of course she's pro-government, and was like, these companies, they won't put out more product because... They said they need more dollars to buy more stuff. Well, I'm like, they do fucking, I don't understand, why there's even that control. If they could just convert their money and then buy the American products and then resell it there, the free market fixes this shit, you dumb fucks.
Yeah. Durr.
Unemployment.
Frozen concentrated orange juice.
Yeah, you dumb fucks. Unemployment, January 2016. The unemployment rate closed at 18.1%.
18.1? I don't know what that means.
18% of the population could not get a job.
That's not good.
No.
Were they trying? Were they really trying?
Who knows? That they may be like America and not even report people that quit looking because they are they fucking gave up.
I mean, Jordan could be Venezuelan.
Jordan. He doesn't have a job. Crime and murder during the crisis. According to the think tank observation at Venezuela... Observatory of Venezuelan Violence. In 1998... What?
Where the hell are you reading from?
Where is my fucking numbers at? I have the... So the murder rate in 2015 was 90 per 100,000.
Ouch.
I copied and pasted it twice. According to the observation of Venezuelan Violence, compared to 5 per 100,000 in the U.S.,
ouch.
Yeah.
That's more.
That's a lot.
That's 85 more.
I believe they are the Latin American number one violence capital.
We're numero uno! Give me that knife.
So next up is immigration. In 1998, the year Chavez was first elected, only 14 Venezuelans were granted U.S. asylum.
Only 14?
Only 14. In just 12 months, in September of 1999, 1,086 Venezuelans were granted asylum, according to the U.S. Censorship and Immigration Services. 2016 alone, over 150,000 Venezuelans immigrated.
What? I mean, it went from 14...
To 150,000? Over 150,000.
I mean, think about that. 14.
They're fleeing.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that's 100,000 million jillion percent.
Yeah, it's huge.
I don't do math on Saturday mornings. It's against my religion.
Yeah, so early on, a lot of the middle class people, they realize, like an Atlas Shrugged, they're going to end up working harder and harder so that people could have free bread. And they're like, fuck this shit. I mean,
live free bread or die.
Who wants to work harder for other people?
Nobody.
No.
No.
Unless it's your kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's different, though.
Yeah, but you don't really want to. You
and there's a point
to,
in which case those
them,
little fuckers
so.
Need to get work in, like, the coal mine. Like, once you hit about 9.5, it's time you get your ass in the coal mine.
You load 16 tons. What do you get?
Black lung, bitches.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And deeper than that.
Another, I think the last thing I'm going to talk about, the last real sign that your government is going full totalitarian, was besides, like, basically Maduro is right now, is rewriting the Constitution, putting people in the Supreme Court, the Venezuelan Supreme Court, to rewrite the Constitution. Basically, he's making his play for dictatorship. You know, and that's it. It's over.
He's making us play for it?
Yeah, he's making his move. He's making his coup to convert from El Presidente to the dictator. He's going to be the Venezuelan dictator. It's no longer going to be a republic. He's making that play. He's working towards that. It's pretty obvious. We're going to see more. But before that, though, one of the major signs that your government is going totalitarian and the shit has hit the fan. Not is hitting, the shit has hit the fan, and it's all a slide down the poo field from there.
Is that if your working television is sitting on your non-working television?
No, I've done that before.
Your wife's hair has been destroyed by a ceiling fan?
No, the government disarms the people.
They disarmed, oh, yeah, you're fucked at that point. They take away your guns, they don't want you to be able to defend yourself.
Yeah,
they have all the guns now. You're slaves in your own country.
And the criminals. Hold on. We've just established that Venezuela has the largest murder rate in Latin America.
And now the government's taking all the guns. All the weapons.
I don't understand, Mike. Venezuela is a gun-free zone. How are people getting murdered with guns?
Wait a second.
That doesn't make sense. A gun-free zone? There shouldn't be any gun violence.
Yeah, the government's doing it.
No. Criminals don't give up their guns.
No, they fucking don't. Honest people hand in their guns. When you see the sign on the outside of the fucking store that says this fucking store is a gun-free zone, you're just stopping the honest people from carrying guns in. You're not stopping the motherfucker that's coming there to rob the place. He's not going to walk up to the goddamn door with his Glock and be like, oh, shit, I have to leave this outside. This is going to make this robbery a hell of a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
No, goddammit. By enforcing shit like that, you're only hampering the people that could be on your side to fight against the shit in the first goddamn place.
Exactly. There are parts of the city where, like, crime syndicates have taken over abandoned, like, skyrises. And they're just like, no go. Like, you just don't go to that place. The security guards are disarmed.
Loved it in that one RoboCop movie where motherfucker tried to... What, did you just say the security guards?
The security guards are disarmed. Only the police and the military have weapons, and the criminals.
So, security guards, guys whose job is to guard specific places against physical violence and crime, now have, like, no tools to help them do the job with.
No. Some reporters returned home and they saw the security guard hiding behind the door because, you know, so he wouldn't get shot because he didn't have a gun to shoot back.
At this point, you're just paying a guy to wear a uniform and do nothing.
And I bet he gets paid fairly well, too, because he's basically going to get murdered.
Oh, God. In the Philippines, and I might get some, like, citations on this if I were Wikipedia. No, but in the fucking Philippines, that's a gun-free country. Citizens are not allowed to own weapons over there. But if you're in law enforcement or private security and you get the license to carry a weapon, you can carry any weapon.
I kind of like that. That's interesting.
Well, no, like the bank that my father goes to, they always have two security guards posted outside the doors. And he's like, most commonly, he'll see one of them holding an Uzi, the other one carrying a double-barreled shotgun. Those are not like your typical security guard weapons, but they're allowed to have any weapon because it's one license.
Yeah.
I mean, it's damn near impossible for anybody to get that license. And if you're just a private citizen, you can't.
Right.
But if you can wear a badge, you can, it's still the qualifications are crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had motherfuckers trying to knock over banks with machetes. and are, like, usually immediately cut down by whatever machine gun the fucking guard happens to be holding at the time. Because they can do that. I mean, you can literally walk into a bank and have... I mean, it doesn't really happen, but if a guard wanted to fucking carry an M60 to work with them, he could.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the cops can have whatever fucking guns they want. It's not, like, regulated. They don't have a specific police issue. Oh, you gotta love it. But then again, it is a third world country, so.
Yeah.
Average person there makes $3,000 a year equivalent. It's all in, like, Filipino pesos. Basically, any country that has pesos scares me.
I am interested, though, in... So, in countries that still have the internet and have the ability to do that, like, man, there's so much ability to make internet money. Like, there are people that do, like, the Philippines, there's a lot of people there that do internet, like, VA jobs, which are virtual assistants. So, basically, like, you, while I'm sleeping, I hire you, my virtual assistant, to go share Survival Punk content on the internet. And... You get paid in American dollars, usually via PayPal, and you can make more than the average Filipino. Like, think about it. Most of these people make, like, what we'd consider a pittance here in America of, like, you know, $7 an hour.
Yeah.
But for a Filipino...
Oh, that's, like, life-changing.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, the average person makes between $2,000 and $4,000 annually. Annually, that's a year's salary for them, is an average $3,000.
Yeah, and some of this stuff that, you know, they could do multiple jobs. So yeah, the internet is revolutionary. I'm testing something at the moment, doing internet sort of arbitrage, and I'm gonna do some more of that because really I'm just tired of my job and I'm too much of an entrepreneur, so I'm not really a good employee. My employee slave mindset has so been destroyed by being an entrepreneur that I don't think I really have the ability to be a great employee ever again.
No, you don't.
So basically what I'm doing right now is I saw this video. It was like, hey, you go to this one website that has like Chinese products that take like, you know, a month to ship and get there, but they're ridiculously cheap. You copy and paste that information and those pictures into eBay for a profit. And when they sell, you take the money you made from eBay, go to the site, it's like AliAir.com or something, I don't remember the name, you buy it and then put in your customer's information to ship it to.
Oh, wow.
So basically all you're doing is listing on eBay and then copying and pasting. I mean, it's easy. I put two listings up on eBay. I can put up 100 listings at a time.
Well, yeah.
So... And since I have a tiny house, there's no actual physical inventory that I have to do. I just have to key in information and go. So there are a lot of ways to make money on the internet, and I think maybe I will do an episode on that in the future because I make some money on the internet. At this point, basically it covers the cost of doing the podcast, i.e. The web server. I make enough money to pay for the web server, so I'm not paying for that out of pocket. And unfortunately, eventually I will have to get a more expensive server. So that'll happen, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, me and Mike do this because we like running our fucking mouth.
Yeah, we really do. I mean,
we have fun.
Yeah, we're doing this basically because people have always liked listening to us conversate. Our buddies have, at least.
Yeah.
Because we can be amusing and we can just go on and on and on. So fuck it. We're sharing our love with the world.
Yeah, and so...
Oh, and by the way, I mean, yeah, it's free to you guys. It is. You had to pay for the equipment, though.
Well, you know...
And the hosting space for the website.
Do you know how I bought most of this equipment here?
Huh.
Via the contribution of Survival Punk Army members.
Survival Punk Army wants you! I haven't done that in forever.
Yeah, so... There are many ways to join the Survival Punk Army.
Why don't you tell them how to do that?
You go to survivalpunk.com.
That's an easy way.
You can easily find the link to get to join the Survival Punk Army.
It's all over the place.
My preferred method, because it's the
doggy style,
lowest impact, is to join the $5 a month.
Who the hell is going to miss $5 a month unless you live in Venezuela?
That's the point. I've had someone that's been a Survival Punk Army member at $5 a month since I launched the Survival Punk Army in 2014.
Doesn't that person deserve a shout-out?
I don't remember his name. He's never contacted me. I've never, like, most of the people, like, Matt French, loyal listener. I've had many conversations with Matt French, Survival Punk Army member.
Hi, Matt.
Buddy, Survival Punk Army member, had conversations with him, talked to him, interacted with him on a daily basis. Ed, many conversations. So most of these people I know and I talk to. This guy, I think maybe he, like, joined it and then went missing and just has, like, an automatic deposit bank account or something and just keeps paying. Like, you're a true American hero, my friend.
Yeah, he's just been paying you $5 a month for years now.
I never emailed. Like, if you are that member, if you are that member that has paid me since 2014, send me an email, jamesfarrellpunk.com. Obviously, I will know because I know the email of the person that does it.
Oh, he doesn't listen to the show.
Send me your address, and I'll mail you some stickers and shit, dude.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout-out on the episode. Not that you're listening, because I don't believe you're listening.
Yeah. He died in, like, service to his country, and his wife has just been paying ever since then because she doesn't know how to hit the cancel button.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, but, yeah. So, that was a look at what a shit hit the fan will look like. Some of the controls that the government will take. Some of the things that we can kind of see that our own government might slip into or is trying to do on a smaller scale. And really the only way... So 1984 ended on a very sad note with the government winning truly and utterly. And the only way... I think the lesson there from 1984 and the lesson from Venezuela is don't let it get to that point.
Right.
If we let it slide that far... not really much we can do. I know a lot of people have that sort of Red Dawn fantasy scenario where they think that us, the gun-toting survivalists of America, can actually go toe-to-toe and fight an army. And for the most part, I don't really... It's not going to happen, guys. If there's any sort of, like, armed confrontation with, like, us and the United States Army... we're going to get fucked up.
Yeah, there might be a hell of a lot more. I mean, there might be a shit ton of fucking private citizens out there with weapons, multiple weapons. That's fine. But here's the thing about the active U.S. military. I mean, they do train as units to work cohesively. Like, constantly. One of my best buddies is currently a staff sergeant in the Army, and he can attest to this. He doesn't listen to this show. Mainly because he's a Republican, but whatever. If you heard that, hi, Todd, but I know you didn't hear it.
Yeah. I actually joked when he's going to go give Venezuela their freedom because they have oil.
No, that's the thing. You take 30, like, currently being trained, active duty military, you know, military guys, and pit them against, like, 30 private citizens with their own, you know, personal arsenals, and it's not going to be pretty. It's really not.
Yeah, some cases, I mean, not every battle will be completely decisive, but so the Second Amendment,
Kevin, by the way,
the Second Amendment where we have the right to keep and bear arms is not really adequate, to be honest. It's not being upheld the way that it should be. Our armament, to prevent the tyranny of the government is not equal because we can't own a Moab. Mike, where's your Moab?
It's in the shop.
Yeah, we can't compete with the actual armament that our government has.
No, they don't want us to.
So,
last thing they want is for us to have the same weapons.
If anything, it would be a horrible, dirty, grueling guerrilla warfare where we're hiding in, like, the southern woods, popping caps at, you know, armored tank carriers.
I could own a minigun if I had the money.
Yeah. Yeah, to buy the class 2 or 3 tax stamp that costs like 10 grand just to apply for the permit to buy the gun, not counting the price of the gun.
You don't need a permit.
You do. You need a tax. It's a tax stamp. Tax stamp is a permit. I mean, you have to fill out paperwork.
You can take my minigun when you can pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah. So those are, that's a look at the crisis in Venezuela and, you know, what a shit hit the fan could look like. You know, they were a first world country, and they are falling. So, not to keep this episode going any longer, we are long-winded. We talked about lots of fart jokes.
We're an hour and 14 minutes
yeah.
in.
So, on that bombshell,
that terrible disappointment, whichever way you prefer, this has been the Survival Punk Podcast. And for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sickwin Burnett.
Don't move to Venezuela, folks. You can't afford the rice.
DIY to stand in line for bread for 5 hours, use guys.
Use guys!